And we're starting about to start the first of the year. You know, we're in the December here. And this goes right along with not letting these things slip, okay? But there are certain patterns that our Lord spoke to us about in these last days that he intends for us to set certain patterns in our lives, and if we don't do it, then we're going to have to give account why we didn't on that day. So I think he wants to go ahead and go with this message of daily to nightly. This is night. We're going to do that at calling in the lost here. So open up to Matthew 6. There are some things. See, the thing of it is the Lord wants a relationship with you. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden. His original plan was to walk and talk with them in the cool of the day. Isn't that right? It wasn't just, you obey me, or, you know, I'm going to give you the thumb, you know, I'm going to mash you down or something. No, he wanted to walk with them, talk with them. The verse we did a week or so ago, you know, he wants to be your God. He says, they will be my people, I will be their God. And as we progressively come out of the world, he says, I'll be a father unto you. I will receive you. He wants a daily walk with us. And I'm not going to really teach on this part too much tonight, but I want to mention again the when you's. I used to call them the if you's. But it's the when you give, when you fast, and when you pray. Now, the way he's talking right there on those three in Matthew 6, he's talking about privately. Just you and your Father having fun together. Like when you're going to give to the poor, do you know he really enjoys that? He really enjoys that. When you're going to go bless somebody and not going to tell anybody else about it, it's you and your daddy on a fun trip. We're going on an outing. Like, you know, families that go camping together, they're going to bond, they're going to fellowship. God likes to go with you to help the poor. He likes to be in on that. Just you and him. Okay? Now, this one he's still teaching me on, fasting. Because, see, he knows my soul does not enjoy fasting. But apparently, the real me, the child of his, does. Because it brings dominion over this, how does Nathan say that? This meat sack. Brings dominion over the meat sack and puts it in that positional place of death. I'm going to have to learn how to get past my soul in the fasting to fellowship with my Father. Because he says, do it in private. Just you and your Father. So this is another outing. I'm trying to turn. I call Angie my little general. She is a very diligent type person. And January will mark 2 years of us going to the gym 3 times a week unless we're out of town. And I've never been that faithful before, but a big part of it is because of her. Because I know she's going whether I'm going or not. You see? But it's a fellowship time. But my flesh would sometimes whine and groan, oh, tomorrow morning I got to get up. So the Lord says, why don't you change that to me time? Oh, me time. Get on the treadmill. This is me time. At first I thought that was it's actually changed my perception some. You know, I've got to get this perception, that which is in the Word, that the Father and I are on an outing together when I fast. Now that is a whole new mindset for me. I don't know if that'll affect you, but that's going well. And it's talking about the real me. Because I know my little soul is, can I say, a little whiny baby? It doesn't like fasting. It never has. You know, what it says, what it wants to say to the Father, I thought you loved me. And you want me to do this? This is horrible. See, but I got to change that to me time. Me and my Father time, actually. And then the third when you is praying. Now, see, praying in Matthew 6, when he talks about, when he gives the Lord, you see, the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6 and in Luke 11 are virtually identical. But in Matthew 6, when he expounds on it, he starts talking about mainly mammon. And, when he says, give us this day our daily bread. Well, the teaching there, he pretty much focuses on you coming to the place of fellowship with your Father where you trust him to meet your need. As long as you put his kingdom first, which would include hearing and obeying, but it also includes reading and doing. Okay, and as long as you put his kingdom first, there is a blatant promise He'll meet every need you have. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things, and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. So there in Matthew 6, when he talks about, and see, it's daily. I asked you to look at Matthew 6, 11. That's in the prayer, where it says, give us this day our daily bread. See? So in Matthew 6, this is something he expects you to do every day. Why? Because he wants to walk with, what if I said it, what if we had a series called Walking with God in Your Finances Every Day? Everybody'd be here, wouldn't they? Oh yeah. That's exactly what he's preaching. He wants to walk with you, talk with you, co-labor with you in the arena of finances, and he wants to do it every day. Otherwise, Jesus would not have daily in there. Now that's a promise. I'm getting excited the more I think about that. Say, let's walk together in finances today. That sounds pretty good to me. Of course, he's going to talk to you about it. Let's walk together in righteousness today. Anyway. So in Matthew 6, when he's teaching on the Lord's Prayer, the emphasis there mainly has to do with your provision and you walking with your Father. Because in prayer too, he says, now this is between you and your Father. Give us this day our daily bread. Don't do it to be seen of men. He says, don't pray that way to be. So this is an attitude of heart adjustment or attitude of heart between you and him. See? I'm trusting you. Give us this day our daily bread. Lead us not into temptation, Father. You could, every item in there. But see, thine is the kingdom. Thine is the power. Thine is the glory. So that humility is in there. It's wonderful. But what it's a daily walk. And we tend to let that slip. He wants to walk with you daily in your finances. He wants to walk with you daily in your righteousness. He wants to walk with you daily on your ministry to the poor. And he wants to walk with you whenever you do it on fasting. But it's a when you and not an if you. Amen. Now, Luke 11, you can go over to Luke 11 verse 3 if you want to. It's the same Lord's Prayer. But now, this time, where it says, Luke 11, verse 3, give us this day our daily bread. When he expounds this time in his teaching, he's not so much emphasizing your need, your finances, your provision. He's talking about, I have a friend who has come to me, and I have no bread to give my friend. He's actually talking about you having more than what you need, so that you have bread to give to them. Well, what do you mean by bread? You don't have to look it up, but in Luke 9:23, he plainly says, Matthew 15:26, he says, healing is the children's bread. Healing is the children's bread. And so in Luke 11, when he's saying, I need bread to give to other people, well, that's not your healing, is it? Hello? No, that's you delivering the healing bread to other people. See? This is what Jesus said in Mark 16. Believers shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Isn't that right? But look at 11:3. Give us day by day our daily bread. So again, he is talking about a prayer that you would pray every day. See, for years, I have said, Lord, Jesus, it records he would spend all night in prayer. I'm going, why didn't you record those? Man, wouldn't you like to know? Wouldn't you like to know what was prayed? He says, I told you. This is what he prayed. Now, there was more detail. I mean, it doesn't take hours to pray this prayer. But he's saying, this is the outline, this is the schematic, this is the pattern that Jesus would pray. See, we think about being filled with the Holy Ghost being a one-time event, and to a certain extent it is. Jesus only got baptized in the Holy Ghost once. You only got baptized in the Holy Ghost once. Amen? But see, the Bible talks about, in the English it says, be filled with the Holy Spirit, but in the Greek it says, be being filled. And it's just exactly like a glass of water. You can have a glass of water that's full one day and half full the next. And it needs to be being filled. And so there is a communion, a daily fellowship with the Lord, where you might have been filled on Sunday, but this is Tuesday at the end of the day, the work day, and you got a 1 inch in your glass, and you need to be being filled, see? But there's a daily filling. There's a daily overflow of bread. He's still teaching me on this, more to come, okay? But this added, what I'm trying to, what in my life, I just tell you how, I don't know how you'll do it in my life. I'm not going to ignore the Lord's Prayer anymore. Okay? I mean, I can read, and it says daily. So, part of my worship in the morning now is spending the time going through that prayer, not fast, not just get it, you know, getting that over with, but spending enough time with Him going, Lord, I thank You that You meet every need that we have. Lord, I'm here to serve You. It's Your kingdom, not mine. I'm listening for instructions. I'm going to spend time praying and listening. If You have a word for me, that's exactly, nothing else I have on my plate matters. What matters is whatever You want me to do. See? Isn't that right? But in the course of that now, I'm adding a Luke 11, Lord, I also want You to fill me, refill me with Your Spirit. I want to be being filled all the time. I want to have more bread. I want to have more healing than I need, so I can give healing away to others. I want to have more money than I need, so I can give money away to others. I want to have more peace than I need, so I can give peace away to others. See, at the Bible studies, when we used to have them in our house and people would come back in the day, we kept it private as long as we could, or, you know, we didn't advertise it at the prayer center, but one day Dave announced it. Katie barred the door then. I mean, you know, we had a lot of people come. And even before that, though, people would come, and I was really careful to end it by 9 o'clock, because it was on a work night, and I knew some of them brought their kids, and I knew they had to go to work or have kids in school the next morning, so I was real careful to make sure that we finished straight up 9 o'clock. Then we'd usually have a little fellowship if they wanted to stay for pie or whatever Sue had. But boy, some of them would stay, and then they'd stay. And then they'd sit down and turn on the TV and stay, And what I mean is, you know, it's getting to be midnight and they're still staying. And I'd ask the Lord in the beginning, because, you know how Alan says about broken people? They're broken. I know they're broken. And I said, Lord, what's going on? I mean, most people would leave, you know, in a reasonable amount of time. But there was some that, you know. And the Lord told me, He says, you don't know the hell that they're going to walk back into when they go home. They live in torment. They feel My presence here. They feel My peace here, and they are reluctant to leave it. So I let them stay for 2 or 3 weeks till I got to know them well enough. And then about midnight, I'd say, you know that old deal I used to say in the bars? You just can't stay here. I'd go to the door and I'd say, get out! We don't want you here! What's wrong with you people? But at that time, I hadn't set enough of a relationship. It was okay. They thought it was funny. All right. But see, we had more peace than we needed. And they would come and they were basking in that peace. You understand what I'm saying? We need to have more of everything. And He plainly says that it's the ministry of the Holy Spirit that delivers all of that. Because at the end of that teaching in Luke 11, He says, ask, seek, knock, you will find, you will receive, so far, and so forth. And He says, let's just go there. Better, let's just read it the way He said it. Luke 11. I do not want to misquote it. Starting in verse 9. He says, I say unto you, ask and it shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asks receives. He that seeks finds. And to him that knocks it shall be opened. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Or if he ask for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, and that just means compared to God, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? But you keep it in context, this started off with the prayer. This bread, not for yourself, bread for others. And it's by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. We need to be being filled. And we need to do that daily, and sometimes more than once daily. Okay, enough on that. All right, go to Luke 9. We're coming into fasting season. I've got plenty of time. Well, thank God Dave always waited till after Christmas. You know, glory to God. And get that Christmas ham in there. Luke 9:23. And he said to them all, if any man will come after me. Now notice man is in italics. You can just mark right through that because it's man or woman. If any will follow me, if any will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross once a year. What? Take up his cross daily and follow me. See, even when you're not fasting, even when you're not in a fast, you got to crucify the flesh. It was during a calling in the lost service. Let me see if I can find where I put that. I was just minding my own business. Yeah, here it is. Teaching a lesson. Some of you were here that night, and he just acted again like it was his service. And I was teaching on that, putting the flesh on the cross, and I had never heard this sentence in my life. But he said, one of you will be on the cross every day, either your spirit or your flesh, and it's your choice. Isn't that sad? I mean, true. It's sad but true. One of you will be on the cross every day. In other words, you're going to let the flesh have its way, in which case your spirit man's really on the cross, or your spirit's going to be in control and your flesh is going to be on the cross. But see, Galatians 5, the flesh wars against the lust, the flesh wars against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. That's going to keep going until you get a new body. See? The other one he said to me after that, and then you can, Matthew 7:23, remember when Jesus says, depart from me, you that work iniquity? Remember that? Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name and cast out devils? In other words, we've done religious works for you. Well, I don't ever want to hear these words. I never knew you. Depart from me, you that work iniquity. I see, we've been teaching a lot on crucifying the flesh. Letting iniquity go, you better let it go. Because here's another one that he said to me later. It's really just Matthew 7:23, and it's said in a little different way. He says, you will depart from iniquity, or you will depart from me. Now, is that not Matthew 7:23? That's what he said, right? And then the other verse that I didn't put on the page, I'm not sure. It's one of the T's. It's either Timothy. Anyway. But he says, let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. And that's a foundation. This foundation standeth sure. The Lord knows those that are his. And let everyone that names the name of Christ depart from iniquity. So I be departing. If there's anything left. Are we going to get into legalism now where the women got to wear no makeup and put their hair up in it? But no, that's man's definition. I'll tell you what, you listen to that inner witness and you'll walk holy. I'm not looking at anybody. Now, you know he was talking to me. We're family, right? If you're watching a program of any kind on TV and there's a knock at the door, and if you turn it off because you're afraid it's Dave, that's iniquity to you. Quit saying it isn't. If you'd be embarrassed for Dave to see it, how much more would you be embarrassed for Jesus to walk in on you out there? Now that's where we're going. That's where, that, at least that's how he's talking to me. So, but I like that show. Not the real you. There's a part of you that loves righteousness and hates iniquity because it's born of him. The real you doesn't like that. Aren't you glad you came tonight? See, we tend to think, you don't need to turn to this verse, it's Philippians 2:8, where it says, Jesus, talking about Jesus being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And of course, we always think of the one-time event, the cross. But then one day, after all those years of praying, my lightning-quick mind, it dawned on me, wait a minute, Jesus never sinned. For 30 years, even before he got baptized in the Holy Ghost. There's no way to do that without your flesh being on the cross. He had mortal flesh like everybody else. His flesh wasn't different than ours. His spirit came from God, but his flesh came from Mary, which traces all the way back to Adam. He had the same fallen flesh that likes Krispy Kreme donuts, or alcohol, or drugs, or illicit sex, or anything else. It has the same flesh. Let me say it this way, too, because there's going to be some really good things on addiction. He's going to be teaching soon. Addiction is just nothing more than a chemical dependence. Even if you're not taking chemicals, pornography is a chemically dependent addiction. You're addicted to dopamine, which in males is what's released when they watch that. Okay? And you become addicted to it. All right? But you can break that addiction like you break any other addiction in the name of Jesus. Now you may need help, you know, or whatever. Anyway, I'm preaching way ahead of my schedule. But the point was, Jesus had a chemical brain like you have a chemical brain. His brain, the natural brain, would have liked dopamine as much as anybody else. He would have liked it. When I say he, I mean his flesh would like it because it's not something different. So he had to keep his flesh on the cross for 30 wonderful years. You know what I mean? And it was a joy to him, I think. I think it's going to be a joy to us. The more that we are transformed and let that real us come to the surface. Because, his body, he's our pattern. I don't know why it takes so long to dawn on us things. Romans 12, where you present your bodies holy, a living sacrifice. But there's only one pattern, it's Jesus. He did that. He presented to God this fallen vessel that has the motions of sin in it. He presented it holy to the Father. As a weapon of righteousness. To go into the darkness anywhere. And that flesh didn't rule him. Bless God, he ruled the flesh. And that's where we're going to. Isn't that good stuff? He truly lived the crucified life. Go to Galatians 2:20 just for a moment. He lived the life of obedience unto death. Every single day. Where it says even the death of the cross, every single day. His flesh was on the cross. Because he never was. Until he allowed it. Galatians 2:20. I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless I live. Yet not I. But Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What if we paraphrase that? That's us as believers birthed of Jesus. But let's talk about Jesus who was birthed of the Father. Now you had that same life in you. But the difference is there's an Adam in between the Father and you. The last Adam is Jesus Christ. But he had that life of the Father, right? What if we said this from his perspective? Galatians 2:20? Wouldn't he say something like this? I have crucified the will of my flesh. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but the Father lives in me. And the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Father, who loved me and placed his own life within me. It's not as mysterious when you look at it that way. Christ gave his life so you could have the same life in you that was in him. I love that message. I do know this. Our pathway is going to narrow. And you may already think it's pretty narrow. And it may, compared to you, your friends and associates, they may look at you and go, "Were you holy roller?" But I think what he's doing, he's going to narrow the path even more. And I'm learning that we can't, we can learn, just like we can learn from the people in Hebrews 11, you know, Samson and Noah and Moses, but none of them were born again. Jesus is our only pattern. But we can also learn from people in the past, like Smith Wigglesworth and John G. Lake. But you know what I'm finding out? Each of them had to walk their own walk with God. Smith, something about him, he would not allow a newspaper in his house. You remember? Lester Summerall was going to come visit, and he was all dressed up. They were in England, and so he had on a bowler hat and a coat and an umbrella and had a newspaper tucked under his arm, you know, and he's knock, knock, knock. And Smith, when he saw that newspaper, he says, "Well, you can come in, but you can't bring that with you. Truth, only truth is allowed in my house, and that's full of lies." Well, man, you know, part of me wants to throw away all the newspapers and turn off the news and everything. Then you read about John G. Lake later. John G. Lake loved newspapers. He owned a newspaper company, and he read newspapers till the day he died. Now, here we go again, see. The same way I talk, every time I talk about the Lord dealt with me, with my music, and I warn you, don't, unless he talks to you about it, you can't take what he dealt with me on and think it may not be a problem with you, see? You know? But for me, it was an issue. And he had to deal with it. Well, apparently the news, the way Smith Wigglesworth was made, his psyche and everything about him, it affected him. So over the course of his walk, he learned to do without that kind of stuff. He said, "No, I'm just going to focus on the Word." And he really did. If you really read a good book is called The Wigglesworth Standard. Oh, my Lord. But then I read about John G. Lake, who wasn't like that at all. No, he'd read the newspaper and make comment and write about it, but it did not affect his faith. So each one of us, that's why it's dangerous to start imposing holiness on other people. And that's what the old holiness movement kind of did, you know. I remember one preacher said, "Well, you know," and they're trying to find the power. Say, "Well, it must be because," and I'm going to pick on some things, "it must be because I watch TV." So he said, "I gave my TV away." "Well, it must be because I read the paper." Cancel the subscription to the paper. He kept coming down. He finally says, "Well, somebody told me it's because I'm drinking them Coca-Colas." So he said, "I made the biggest mistake of my life. Because I made a vow to the Lord and you can't go back on it. I made a vow to the Lord. I'll never drink another Coca-Cola as long as I live." And then I found out that Coca-Cola had nothing to do with walking by faith. But I'd already made that vow and I can't get out of it. So I don't drink Cokes and I have it in 30 years. Now there's somebody that'll honor his word, don't see? Now isn't that something? I probably would have started drinking the Cokes again. But the point of bringing that up, you can't impose rules. You got to listen to the Holy Ghost yourself. One person could watch a TV program and not affect them at all. Another person, the Lord's dealing with them, said, "You can't watch that." See? Now, if it's got sex, illicit sex and stuff like that in it, that's universal. Stop. Okay? But there's some that's not quite so blatant. Okay? But that's a pretty good rule. While you're watching, just think about it. If a knock on the door came and Dave walked in, would you be embarrassed? If you would, it's a pretty good indication that's not something you ought to be watching. Hallelujah. All right, let me see if I have anything else on here. Yes. Yes, oh yes, okay. Now, daily things. I didn't look these verses up. One of the things we are specific, this is a universal for all believers. We are supposed to pray in our known language for the leaders of this nation. Now, whether you approve of the leaders of the nation or not, that's not in there. You do understand that when that was written, Rome was the leader. You understand? And still, and an occupying force. But still, he said, pray for these leaders that they have wisdom. Why? That we can live a godly and a peaceable life. Well, there's danger all around the world. North Korea, Middle East, Iran, Africa, Philippines. It's everywhere. There's danger. Don't you think our leaders need the mind of Christ and they need wisdom from God? If it comes to it, I don't care if an angel has to walk in the room and say, I have a message for you, like he did Paul on that ship. You know, an angel appeared and told him, God's given you all the men with you, but none of them can leave the ship. And then they were going to leave the ship. And he said, well, if you leave, you're going to die, but if you stay, you'll live. And they stayed and they lived. See? But an angel came with that. Well, I don't care how it has to come, but one of the dailies that I'm repenting of, this I guess is a Gary repenting service. Because I'd let it slip. I'll just be honest with you. I don't even, when he dealt with me about it, he's really good, you know. You haven't been quizzed till you've been quizzed by him. Because you can't get out of it. The way he'll word it, he'll get you. You know. So he just started off like this. He said, and of course right now the president is President Trump. He says, did you pray for President Trump today? Tell me about your prayer this morning. And I went, well, like he didn't know. Actually, I didn't pray for him. He says, well, tell me about the other times. Tell me about your prayer life for your president. Man, I don't think I prayed for him yesterday either. And thinking back, it had been, I don't know how long it's been. That's not acceptable. That's not what the Son has brought us. That's not the wisdom from heaven that we've been given. My Bible says, make pray for your leaders that they have wisdom from God. And that means even if they're ungodly leaders, that they have wisdom from God so that we may lead a godly and a peaceable life. Boy, does this country need that kind of wisdom. It's been taking the other road for a long time, and we need to get back on the highway of righteousness. All right, so praying in English I'm just skipping over praying in tongues, because at this church, if you're not spending some time praying in tongues, you're just in open rebellion anyway. Is that plain enough? You're just you're not... Well, anyway, you're in open rebellion. Okay? Now, we're all supposed to be praying for the saints in English, the things that you know about. In our case, because of the ministry, we get specific requests from people. But I'll tell you one thing that everybody in the sound of my voice that loves Pastor Dave... We did a message a year or two ago about please pray for Pastor Dave. And we had some prayer confessions there. They're still at, you can go back on my website, I know for sure, and download those confessions and watch that again. It's a video. Please continue to pray. This, what has been is not what shall be. And I'm believing we're believing for Dave 2.0, the improved version. I'm looking for the day when he walks up me with that clarity of eye, like we all know he has. He walks up right up here and says, hand me the, nice job, Gary. You know how he does, pat, pat, pat. Nice job, Gary. Go sit down. I'll take it from here. Yeah. Pray for Pastor Dave. Pray in English. Pray what you know. And that confession sheet that we made for him was not only from Scripture, but it's prophecies that the Lord has spoken that have not yet been fulfilled over Pastor Dave. So we know it is the mind of the Lord. And you can pray those in English. See, it's great to pray in the Spirit, because we know not often how to pray as we ought. Spend time praying in tongues. But when you do know how to pray, There is authority released when you speak the mind of Christ on this earth with your mouth. There is authority released. And I don't know what all, you know, we'll know more about this later, but the Holy Spirit goes, it releases the ministry of the Holy Spirit. It looses angels to do their part in this. I don't know what all goes on, but I do know this. We're told, go to Ephesians 6 now. 6:18. In my mind, Ephesians 6:18 includes both kinds of praying. Because it talks about all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Well, supplication in the Spirit, to me, is praying in other tongues. But all prayer, that's where you know how to pray. You know what to pray. I know what to pray for Pastor Dave, parts of it. I know he's got a sound mind. Declare over him a sound mind, isn't that right? And he's going to fulfill his calling. Make an abundant entrance into heaven. When the day comes, and we're going to have a revival first. We know a lot to pray. Okay. Ephesians 6:18, praying always with all prayer. All prayer. There's more than one kind of prayer. There's intercessory prayer. There's the prayer of petition. There's prayer for direction. There's all kinds of prayer that you can pray even in English or your whatever Portuguese, whatever your language is. Okay? Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Well, that to me, that's the Holy Spirit. He fills in all the blanks. All the stuff you don't know, He'll pray it. You know? Supplication in the Spirit. And watching there unto whenever you feel like it. So that's the way we do it, though. With all perseverance and supplication for all saints. See, that word perseverance is a strong word. That's like out here where it says endurance is the key. Well, perseverance and endurance are pretty much the same thing. I'm going to keep praying. The best definition I ever saw of we take modern day understanding of the word patience. Somebody sent me this one time, and if you're the one that sent it, we love you, I appreciate you, but it said patience. And it showed this beagle dog, and not the ones with the long floppy ears. A beagle had long floppy ears, almost, you know, the mother dog is sitting there with kind of a droopy, putting up with it face. Had these long ears, and there was like 9 puppies chewing on her ears. And she's just putting up with it. And the caption was patience. That is not New Testament patience. That is not new. You look up that word patience, and the more near correct English word today to translate that, the Greek word, is endurance. The image there is a soldier, one soldier with a sword, and there's 1,000 enemy coming to kill him. But they're on such a narrow path, they can only come at one at a time. And endurance kills them until there's no more left. Amen. Doesn't put up with it. It keeps fighting until you win. Amen. That's endurance. Let endurance, it says patience, but let endurance have its perfect work. That you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. I like that lacking nothing part. Hallelujah. Philippians 4:6. Oops. Hey, see? There's nothing on the back page. We're almost done. Philippians 4:6. We're still talking about daily prayer. I tell you what people are pretty good at doing daily, and that's worry. They're real good at worrying daily. I worry daily. I thank you, Lord, that I'm a champion warrior. But see, Philippians 4:6 says, be careful for nothing. In plain English, that means don't worry about anything. But in everything, by prayer and supplication, now notice, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. The normal practice is, bad news came, I'm worried, we turn directly to our soul, we try and figure out 14 solutions to it. We try about 6 of them and fail. It gets worse, it gets worse, and finally, maybe we need to pray. And somebody says, has it come to that? When that should have been our first answer. See? He wants to walk with you daily. He wants to be your prayer answerer. He wants to be your supply on everything. And we're commanded. That's really, be careful for nothing. That's pretty strong. That means don't do it. I remember Dad Hagen was reading that verse or one similar to it one time, and he about gave up. He said, Lord, I can't do that. He says, I am a champion warrior born of a family of champion warriors. I can't not worry about stuff. But the Lord kept dealing with him like he did with me about forgiving. He said, no, you can do this. You're going to have to do it. So he says, I'd get beside the bed. I'd cast the whole of my care upon the Lord. Do my best. Might take me a while. And he says, sometimes I'd have to mention them by name. You know, I cast my car. I cast my kids. I cast whatever it was giving him trouble at the time, you know, my business, whatever. Get into bed. Wouldn't be 15 minutes. Hadn't drifted off. Get out of the bed again. Cast them all again, you know. Dave used to say, you know, we loved his analogy. Oh, yeah, we'll have one of those services where everybody comes and they leave their cares at the altar. Ah, and you felt a 100-pound weight come off your shoulders. Trouble is, you're driving home. You're driving a Volkswagen. Your cares are driving a Ferrari. Now, this is going to mess with you. He asked me one day, do you think Jesus ever worried? See, more and more he's bringing us to looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. More and more he's saying, do you think he worried? Not a chance in this world. He would instantly turn to his Father. And we're going to walk that same way. The other one I'm going to leave you with here now. Don't forget those lessons on communion. God needs us all to be strong, healthy, ready for battle. And the enemy would love to put all of us flat on our back, where we're the ones needing ministry instead of the ones giving ministry. So I've made up my mind. I'm going to put it in a prominent place so I don't forget. But I'm going to have communion at least for a season every morning. For me. Now, that's me. I'm not imposing that on anybody, and I can't give you chapter and verse for that. But I know many people in the old time, Smith Wigglesworth was one of them. He not only took communion every morning. Do y'all remember, you know, Smith was a big guy, had a big barrel-chested Englishman, you know, and plumber. And I can just see his arms. Did you know he would dance before the Lord every morning? Get up. I've tried to picture what that would look like. This big old plumber guy. Dang. I know. But I think to the Lord, it was a beautiful and a precious thing. I think, have you ever watched little Mila eat? Mila, which is Nathan and Lori's little daughter. When she eats, if it's something she likes, you give her like a little bite of chocolate, tiny little taste of chocolate. She does a little dance. Sitting in the high chair. You'll take a taste. Then she goes. I'm telling you, there's nothing more precious on earth. All you want to do is give her another bite of chocolate. Because you want to see the dance again. Isn't that right? Huh? I think the Lord was like that with Smith. And I've thought about dancing. I'm not promising nothing. But I'm giving it some thought. Okay. The point is, we need to get back to our dailies. Get back to our dailies and not let those things slip. And it's not a legalism. It's not from a standpoint of legalism. It's from a standpoint of fellowship. He wants to be involved in our lives. He wants to walk with us and talk with us. Enjoy with us. Be involved with everything we do. He wants to be your problem solver. He really doesn't want us to be worried about anything. He doesn't want us to worry. Cast it on him. Cast it on him. He can do amazing things. All right, that's enough for tonight. Y'all getting anything out of that? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.